This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
It just came up as skin tone 4.
Yes.
And the other ones are question marks.
Y'all suckers can't hang with this.
I don't understand what this means.
It's unicorn middle finger taco.
You know what I got? Question mark middle finger skin tone 4 question mark.
Yeah, because my middle finger is brown, like me.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 54 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
So Sean has the Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls beta. 3 has beta. Arrived in beta form.
Is it still here?
No, it's done.
So it left.
So all Dark Souls fans
on Betamax, I assume,
don't
is what you meant.
Be yeah, actually. it's one of those you get the story and you gotta play and you fast forward to the parts of the story you wanna see.
Oh, I love Choose Your Own Adventure.
Exactly. So if you want, I kind of want to keep my Dark Souls credibility intact. So if you're a Dark Souls fan,
you didn't
just close
finish
your
it.
Ear. I didn't finish it.
How long? How many hours is it?
So it's open at like midnight.
I don't know you
anymore. And I forgot about it. I totally forgot about it. And then, so I played it the first time. And
you
then,
played it here.
Yeah, I played with you and it was fun. Okay, we'll talk about what I played.
So what is different about Sean when Dark Souls 3 beta came out versus when Dark Souls 1 and 2 and all these other games that he loves were out? We don't have to say it on air, but there is something significantly different.
Is there
about
a problem with Dark Souls 3? Has it lost its touch?
It's not the game.
No. Has Sean
there's
matured?
Something about Sean's life that is very
nothing
different.
Nothing at all. But the thing is, though, I think I was more excited about signing up for the beta than I was about playing the beta. So, I did. Obviously,
you're
I
smart.
Played some
you
of it.
You put two and two together, my friend.
It took you a long time for that one. It was fun when I played it. They did a couple of different things. A lot of it was locked down, so you couldn't actually like go through your inventory and things like that. So you just picked up a weapon and you were forced to use it. But it definitely felt like a Dark Souls game. And I definitely had fun with it, but there is still this overarching feeling
Sean's
that
Sean's tired of it.
And yeah, that's my worry. I mean, I think once I play it, I'll still have a lot of fun, but I do not. And I think Miyazaki said he's going to try to avoid this, but it seems like they're already doing it. This idea of a yearly Souls release. It feels like all the time. I mean, Bloodborne just came out.
How much time was there between 1 and 2?
I don't actually
and Bloodborne.
Know. But I don't think it was that long. I mean, you have to think about it. I'm pretty sure Demon's Souls came out in like 2009 or something like that, 2010.
Okay.
Demon's Souls, Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, Bloodborne.
Yeah, I feel like it's, if not every 12 months, like the largest gap was maybe 18 or something months. I don't think it was a 24-month gap between
And
one of those games.
I mean, I like games to have a gap. I always, you know, you always feel like when you have a good game, you want to play the next one immediately because you're so excited, but you do get some of that fatigue. And I'm sure once I get it, I'll play the hell out of it and really like it. But there still is a feeling like I just finished Bloodborne. The DLC hasn't even come out yet. So I just hope this isn't a continuation, but it looked really good. It played well. They mixed a lot of things up. They even changed the controls a bit. With two-handing is a little bit different, but it definitely feels like Dark Souls in that backstabs are back.
I don't know what that means, but I'm happy for you, man.
All right. You'll find out
the next time backstab. I turn my back on you. All right, so let's dive into our topics. This one, I don't know how long we'll actually spend on it. I say that now, and then we'll probably spend like 20 minutes on it. We'll have to wrap it up.
Jinx this.
But definitely want to talk about this because it's something we talked about maybe 3 episodes ago, and that is YouTube has a subscription. It's called YouTube Red.
Hurrah.
And it's $10, so, you know, this is all stuff.
A month.
We talked, $10 a month. No, just $10 for life.
Yeah.
Well, it could be yearly.
Yeah, and they don't even care who you pay it to. You could, like, I could give Sean $10. All right, you gave somebody $10. $10 a month, $9.99 a month, and gets you things that we talked about before, like no ads. It gets you
across the whole platform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No ads. It also, and Sean kind of hinted that he would like to see this feature. It also gets you access to YouTube Music and Google Play Music. So it's just basically one subscription for all that. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, so the YouTube Music Play is really interesting. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but YouTube, I mean, the music aspect of YouTube is the one thing no other streaming service has really access to, and it's a unique thing. A lot of artists promote their music on there, sometimes even before it comes out on iTunes. And there's live shows and things like that. So it's a really interesting feature, but I'm glad to see this because I don't think anybody really knows about this. Like, nobody cares about YouTube Music Key. And by the way, a little thing, it's not an amazing name, but I strongly prefer YouTube Red over all these stupid Google names like Google Play Music All Access and YouTube Music Key. It's just simple.
You bring up two things. So let's first talk about the name. YouTube Red, I agree. It's a much better name, but I think it's a little confusing with the whole product Red stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and because specifically, you know, fine, if you want to battle it out for brand name and name recognition, fine, like I don't really care. But yeah, it's a nonprofit and it's AIDS research and stuff like that. And so I kind of feel like that's a bad move to try to muscle in on their name. Obviously, the YouTube logo is red. It's always been red. I get it. But that's a little weird. The other thing is, so I kind of wonder, you know, because it's bundling in Google Play Music and YouTube Music Key or whatever it's called, will people who already subscribe to those things just get bumped up? Or how is that process going to work? And then secondly, Sean and I were just talking about before we started the podcast, Apple Music, and you know he has an iPhone now, and I was asking him if he would sign up for that. But this sounds like what you should sign up for.
Do you already have a subscription?
No, I don't. So the reason why, currently I use Google Play Music exclusively. The reason why I originally used it is because it has the Music Locker service,
right.
And that's why I upload all my music, and that also has me locked in. The reason why I haven't gotten a service right now is because of issues with Wi-Fi and data. I'm primarily on data for most of the day. So to use a streaming service, considering how much music I listen to.
Yes, but wait, it gets better.
There's more.
There is caching, offline caching to this service as well. So that's why I think, you know, this really sounds like what you should be using, whether you have an iPhone or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Even in Google Play Music, one thing it does that I always liked is as you play music, it'll automatically download, which while you're streaming it, it can just download it. It's the same amount. So that happened a lot, and it was very useful. Sometimes in situations just to prevent data. Other times in situations like, you know, I'm on the subway, I don't get service. Yeah. It's good to have some music, but I don't have to deal with the fact that I have true file management that you would deal with.
Connecticut subways are a pain, man.
But so like in situations like that, it's really good that it caches this, and having this is huge. Same thing with YouTube. There's YouTube offline playback. And it's funny, people always complain, you know, I hate that I can play stuff in the YouTube app, and when I close the app, the music stops playing or the sound stops playing. People always complain about that. They don't realize Google has this capability. They've just always turned it off because presumably they were waiting to do some service like this where you pay for that functionality. And I listen to, there's a decent amount of music I listen to on that. Like you even think about sometimes the advantage of a streaming service is all music is at the tip of your fingers, right? There are sometimes in YouTube, there is some person who has uploaded the album you want to listen to in its entirety somewhere. So in a weird way, even though it's completely illegal, you sort of have, even if you didn't have Google Play Music All Access, their streaming service, just with YouTube alone, you kind of have access to so many albums. I found albums that I couldn't find easily on iTunes that I could find on YouTube. It's insane, just because somebody uploads it at some point.
Yeah, right. Some indie stuff, some really old stuff, and it's pretty interesting. So I don't really like the idea of trying to find albums that way.
Yeah, so, and it's clearly, most of the time it's illegal. Let me just be clear, like most of the time it's somebody just uploaded, so.
But yeah, you can definitely find a lot of cool, interesting, and in many cases unique things on there, whether or not it's illegal. But apparently paying Google $10 a week, $10 a month makes it all, it all good, right? So I'm probably going to stay with Apple Music. I've talked about that before. I'm pretty happy with it. And because it's a music service, I recently switched to T-Mobile. It's one of those identified music services that T-Mobile zero rates. Mm-hmm. So I don't pay for streaming when I listen to
that's it. Cool.
That's
cool.
Really cool. On the network. I don't know if they're going to do that with YouTube because it's video as well, even though you could use it as music. But that's kind of... we'll have to wait and see. Sounds like this is the subscription service for you if you decide to pay for something.
Yeah, I think so, especially because my understanding is, even though there's always debates between the streaming services, all of them have similar sized libraries. I even heard, and I don't quote me on this, but that the Xbox music service actually had the... Groove Music actually had the largest library.
That's right,
so obviously, it varies. Like, they don't have the exact same library. But my point is, it's not like it's Rhapsody where they're like, or Amazon Prime Music.
I've used it for 3 years now, maybe more. And I've very rarely not been able to find something that I was looking for.
I have.
What's it called again?
Groove Music.
I think for me, the funny thing is my problem with streaming services is just that when I get onto the streaming service, I use Spotify at one point. I don't actually know what I want to listen to. And it's literally, it's like you're in a CD store. You don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Whereas with my uploaded music, I know what I just uploaded. I recently listened to, which don't get me wrong. You can do some of those things in Spotify and stuff, and you can look at other people's playlists. But for some reason, it felt overwhelming to me. And then the other thing was, and this is pretty much only a problem with older artists and more, I don't know, instrument heavy artists, they have such a large library. Like, I was trying to listen to the Nina Simone, and they have so many different versions.
Yeah,
it's impossible to find the version you want. And
all of them are the versions you
no,
want.
But no, but no, you know, oh, exactly. I know what I mean, though. Because she varies her versions significantly,
right?
And I'm like, this is
you don't
know
it's the 1976 Montreux Music Festival version.
Exactly.
So you're not a real fan.
It's a very minor thing. So, I think for me, the bigger thing was the first one.
So for those of us not looking for the music aspect of this, do you see $10 a month as a reasonable price for getting rid of ads? And also, I know they announced that they're going to be putting out original content.
Only
for subscribers.
And I was kind of saving that for last because it starts to bleed into your topic, Rob.
until someone just downloads it and then re-uploads it on YouTube.
Well, I mean, that whole downloading and reposting to Facebook was like YouTube was getting really frustrated with Facebook, and content developers as well, because people were just flat out ripping from YouTube,
which will be easier,
and then
with
putting
Facebook's
on
video platform that they're coming
out to. So is $10 enough for me? I kind of hinted at this last time. I'm going to stick with it. I don't mind the ads the way that I use YouTube.
Right.
You know, it's like I wake up on a Sunday and I start watching a cat video, and 40 minutes later, I've watched more cat videos. But, you know, other than that, I don't do a ton of stuff on YouTube unless it's a video linked in an article that I read.
I'm just imagining your Google search, like all your results are cat related, just because it just thinks
it's
just
cats
a cat.
And laptops.
If only the ads for those videos were other cat videos, then you'd be fine. Yeah. It'd be just a nonstop.
Hey,
loop.
When the Pizza Hut did those cat videos, that was having fun.
I missed out on that. We need to do this.
I know.
Pizza
Hut in Japan. They just did like random. What if Pizza Hut employees were cats? it was amazing. Best
they would just knock pizza boxes off all the time.
Yeah, basically.
But so one thing we should specify, and this is an important part too, that the way we watch YouTube, I think the three of us are similar, we tend to watch it as embedded in certain things.
Like old people? That's how we watch it?
And we'll talk about this a little bit more
later.
That's
what my topic is.
Yeah, it's more embedded in websites and things like that.
Definitely.
Occasionally we search, but it's not our primary point for content.
I very rarely just jump between videos when I'm on YouTube. It's usually a specific video that I'm watching, and then... You know, I don't end up in this endless cat loop video crisis.
We'll do it right one Sunday.
I know.
I'll come over.
I know. Yeah. It'll change my whole perspective on things.
Bleeding with cats. I use YouTube, sounds like, more than you guys. But the funny thing is, I've gotten... Well, one thing is, ad block, so that means I don't even realize that the ads are there. But I think I've paused ad block a few times, and I guess I've gotten used to some
just to
ads.
See how the rest of people live. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We're getting to the situation where, you know, people complain, like Hulu. People were complaining that there are ads on Hulu even after playing for Hulu Plus, even after paying for Hulu Plus,
right.
Which I get why you'd be annoyed at, particularly when you have services
right.
like Netflix. But people don't remember that that was
cable.
The point of cable.
Yeah.
You would pay for it, and then you wouldn't have ads. And now it's completely normal to pay
right.
for cable, pay
and,
a ton of money for cable, and have
of
plenty of that. I mean, all shows are, a half an hour show is 20 minutes long.
Right.
An hour long show is like 40 to 45 minutes long. That's a lot. That's like a third of the entire show is just advertising.
Yeah.
So, and on the internet, we complain about 30 second ads. So it's different. I would consider it. I don't know. I don't know. And especially
yeah.
like this whole package, though. Is,
right.
It almost feels like Amazon Prime, where it's like you want the two-day shipping, but then you kind of, you also get the music service, which you might use. You get the video service you might use.
Mm-hmm.
They have some discounts and things. You're just like, well,
yeah.
Maybe.
And that's why I was talking about the music side of things, because I kind of already said in a previous episode, the blocking of ads, not really. I don't watch enough video content to make that really a big issue for me. So if I weren't using Apple Music, then yeah, I probably would pay for this and you get the benefit. The other thing that I think is kind of, people haven't really stated this out loud, but it's actually a boon for Google because it forces you to log in when you watch their videos. So their tracking is going to be that much
yeah.
more precise
mm-hmm.
and accurate. So, you know, because a lot of times I'll log out or I'll go in incognito mode or whatever, so they don't think I'm just a cat-watching person. But anyhow, so the other thing that you mentioned, Rob, is that they will be having some original content. They haven't they haven't expanded on this too much yet, but sometime in 2016...
Cats uploading their own
they'll
videos.
They'll have, yeah, cat playing keyboard cat uploading videos about
nice.
Playing video games. So they're going to have original content from people like PewDiePie and Rooster Teeth, etc. So, because I'm going to say it, Rob, I'm an old man. I don't really watch. I know who PewDiePie is. I know
He's
who
kidding.
Three people
Audience.
Are on YouTube and YouTube stars, like YouTube
Us
made
three?
Stars. And beyond them, I don't even watch them, to be honest.
Yeah.
So,
can you list the three stars you know? Or no.
Is this what you is this
I just
segue?
Set you up with
oh,
the
man.
Most amazing segue, Rob.
I didn't even realize.
I know, that's how smooth it was.
So
we're already talking
oh,
about the topic.
Oh, it's amazing.
How do we get here?
So there was a list put out, I think by Forbes, of the top 10 YouTube earners for last year, I assume. And so as Josiah pointed out, I'm not going to lie. I've heard of two of these people on the top 10 lists, and one of which I didn't know I had known because I have sub-channels and things. So anyway, let me run through the list real quick.
Well, start from the bottom, and we'll see if we know them.
Well, I don't know any of these people. So
wait, can we just say I was trying to look up this list because I don't have it in front of me, and the first link... The headline is "Mind Blown." Forbes reveals the top 10 richest vloggers. Really?
Well, let me ask you this first. What would you expect to be up there?
So the three people I know: Michelle Phan,
yeah,
who does makeup, PewDiePie,
video games,
and the other person I know I didn't expect to be there, but I know who she is: Lindsay Sterling,
violinist.
I was thinking Andy Milonakis. Grumpy Cat.
Conan.
Yes. Grumpy Cat.
I'm out of jokes.
That's yeah, I honestly, but what would you expect? Like, video games, I think, has become a big thing, and obviously, like, PewDiePie's success on there is
but
not hidden.
You know,
at all.
10 years ago, would you have expected that video games would be the number one?
No.
And particularly, it's funny, too, because part of his allure is his sex appeal. I mean, that, and so you would have never thought a video gamer with sex appeal is the
People
number
say
one.
I look like PewDiePie with a much more masculine voice.
You hear Josiah laugh after that one. But my point is like that.
Yeah, sure, but I mean,
but
even what we know now, right? So we knew that PewDiePie was on the top already. So other than games, what other areas would you expect to be on this top 10 list?
You know, the kind of self-help like beauty videos.
Yeah,
I know those are really big. I don't watch them, but unboxing or what do you call them?
Just boxing.
Not
regular.
Loot. Not loot.
There's a new subsection where they show them packaging up. Honestly, I want to know how they get all that shit in there.
Like, I would think halls or Minecraft videos. I don't know. Whatever the kids like these days.
Yeah, I guess I would think a lot along those lines. It's really weird. There's no way to predict YouTube.
Even music, I think. Like, I guess it's since it's so segregated and all these different people are uploading things. But do you think maybe major labels like Justin Bieber's would have things?
Account you would think would have.
So, all right. So let's go back from number 10. So number 10 was actually, so there's a tie for 8, 9, and 10. So it was between Lily Singh, who's a comedian, Roman Atwood, and Rosanna Pansino, who does cooking videos. Roman Atwood, I think, does comedy stuff.
Yeah, so he does pranks.
Thank you.
How much did they make?
$2.5 million
in 1 year.
In 1 year.
It's not bad.
Above that, you had Michelle Phan, who does the makeup videos at $3 million.
And so I think she announced some kind of actual cosmetic deal with some
I don't big company. Think
so. I think these are just YouTube.
These are just revenue, YouTube right? revenue, yeah. I believe. Yeah. So 5 and 6 are tied at 4.5 million. Rhett and Link, who I think are a comedy duo again, and KSI, who was another gamer turned musician. Some rap star, I guess. I'll
take your word for
it. Yep. So number 4, Lindsay Sterling, who's the violinist, at 6 million. Number 2 is a tie for 8.5 million between Smosh. Smosh, is that how you say it?
Smosh.
Smosh and Fine Brothers, who are both comedy producers, I guess. I don't know what else to call them. And then
Rob's so disconnected from
they make the funny.
And PewDiePie. PewDiePie was number 1 with 12 million. But no, so that's the point, is that I honestly think, Sean, you pointed out that there were the trailers, the what do you call them? The real trailers.
Real trailers. Yeah. I don't know.
Honest trailers, right?
Yeah, honest
trailers. Honest trailers are one. I think one of those groups.
Oh,
does.
One of those guys make that?
I think that's what
that
Sean was saying.
That stuff is pretty funny. I've seen some.
Yeah,
of
and
before.
Then there was.
Okay.
I think they're made by Smosh.
The reaction videos. The
I'm
reaction
sure there's
videos.
Somebody who's really mad right now.
So remember we watched that one, the Korean food?
Yeah, yeah. So
that, and like kids playing
NES
games for the first time. I think that's part of that. So there's a few videos that I've seen that are on these channels that I just didn't know.
Right.
But that said, I think PewDiePie and Michelle Phan were the only two that I actually had heard of before.
Yeah. That's.
Am I getting old? Like, am I just disconnected now?
No.
Are you already old?
What's the problem?
Anytime I can say
this
you're getting old.
My midlife crisis now, apparently.
I will agree with that. Yes, Rob is getting old. But really, in your defense, I think that's the nature of it, is that the internets are just so vast that you can have a ton of people following you. And there's still a ton more out there who haven't heard of you. It's just we're dealing with really large numbers.
I don't know. Maybe it's just how I use YouTube is just not. Do you think a lot of this is coming from younger audiences?
Yeah.
Younger than 20, 23, 22? Like, you know.
I mean, we went to PAX East, and they had YouTube stars there, and there were lines wrapped around that huge convention center because those people obviously knew who those YouTubers were. And I was talking with a work colleague, same thing. She was talking about her 8-year-old son was like starstruck because she got to meet this, he got to meet this Minecraft video
guy. I mean,
that's
how people are when they meet us, so I get it.
You know, it's funny though, when you look at that top 10, really the only one that's somewhat aimed at younger viewers is PewDiePie. None of the others, even like people like the comedians, they don't have comedy that necessarily speaks to.
I disagree.
I mean, what?
12 to 18 year olds are going to love anything comedy, especially boys and potty humor.
But they have to
anything.
Understand it.
Yeah, they'll understand that. It's like not like super deep comedy there.
No, I'm saying, so what of that is that kind of potty humor? I'm saying PewDiePie is. The other comedy is like when you look at it, like, they're not necessarily
real trailers, the honest trailers.
By the way, that isn't them.
Oh,
but, but either way, like a lot of the jokes, they're not necessarily potty humor, but they're not super straightforward. It's not deep humor, but they're actually jokes that have to do with like their criticism of the art that they're talking about, which isn't necessarily when you're watching as like a 16-year-old you would care about. And then you move into like
you're
Michelle.
Telling me 16-year-olds don't get satire? Sure they do.
I don't think that's what they're looking for though in their comedy. Hmm. Maybe at that point maybe that's their growth stage, but I definitely think satire, criticism, sarcasm, I think is to a degree and older because you have to understand it. And I still think that most of these aren't aimed at, and even, okay, let's forget that for a second. Who are the other ones?
Michelle Phan, like makeup. Definitely.
But that would totally be 18 to 25. Definitely kids with a younger.
No, I disagree. Are you crazy? I bet you a large part
girls
of our audience
wear
is like
makeup.
13
oh,
to
no, no, no. I'm not saying, I'm
17.
Not saying also, but I'm saying this idea that it's only fueled by young kids. I would think there's a ton of 18 to 25, like people who are older and who do makeup, but they don't do it right.
Sure.
Like it's not, my point is PewDiePie is really like the majority of is fueled by that age. And we're saying our disconnect from that, I don't think it makes sense to say that. Definitely when you're in those formative years as a girl that I have experienced.
Sean has lived through this, yeah.
But I could see how you would be looking at this. But I'm there's got to be a decent number of young adults, I guess, that
I would
watch
think so.
Well.
I don't know. I would think her demographics lean towards younger.
I guess, can we look it up?
I don't know. Can we, Sean? This is what Google does.
Let me see.
So it's interesting, though, because the cooking one, I would not expect to be on there.
Yeah.
The Lindsay
but
Sterling.
But she was... like pulling in a lot of
she was.
Pop culture,
yeah,
video
like
games.
Clearly she's doing the right things because she's on this list. But I guess when I would have predicted what would be on this list, cooking videos and violin videos, I don't think would
Yeah,
be
I mean,
top.
Lindsay Sterling is quite talented and she has some well-produced videos, but I was really surprised to see her on the top 10.
Oh, well, top five, yeah.
Top five.
In this article, the Smosh video of this show is Tom Cruise is my roommate. To be totally honest, how many young kids know who Tom Cruise is? He hasn't put out like a good movie.
Come
in,
on.
Like,
he was The Last Samurai, Sean.
People know Tom Cruise.
What movie has he put out? He put out that one where he the
sci-fi one.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to like him, but
I watched it.
He puts out a movie every other year.
But I don't think he's a star like he was even close to in the past.
Yeah,
I don't think he has
that
star power.
You picked one video.
Well, yeah, it just happens to be the one that I don't watch Smosh, so I don't actually know.
So ask I want to ask what's the gap between number 1 and 2?
For money?
Yeah.
So PewDiePie is 12 and 2 and 3 are tied at 8.5.
Okay.
And this is for revenue, not like views or anything like that. But we can assume that this revenue is just from advertising.
So
it's kind of a proxy for views.
So Smosh put out a movie. Granted, this is definitely after they've had a degree of success. But that's the type of content I think I would have predicted to be on here. Or kind of feature length videos.
On YouTube?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously they're all original content. But I mean, PewDiePie is commenting on other things, right?
Well, I mean, let's take that a step back, though. So, like, if you look at how do you actually bring in revenue, one of the models is just to have a shit ton of videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stuff that you can... Because they're not talking about profit, right? So they're not talking about production costs and stuff like that. So one of the ways is to get a lot of views, and a way to get a lot of views is to have a lot of different videos.
Now, with a long-form video, you can put multiple ads... in it, you can do like mid-roll ads and things like that.
So they they sell their movie for $3 on here, which I've actually never seen before. I didn't know they could do that.
But
that's interesting. Yeah. So some of that might be tip jar, and some of it might be pay-per-view, all through YouTube, though, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
I wouldn't imagine that long form would do well on YouTube. It's actually funny because Google's original service, Google Video, one thing it was great for was long form video, like documentaries and speeches and things like that. But on YouTube, the vast majority, I would think, is short form. I mean,
yeah,
I can't even think of that. And most of the time when there's a long form thing, they cut it up. Any interviews and things like that, like the shows,
true.
They always cut it up. Whereas on like Hulu, you'll get
I'm
the
actually
thing.
More surprised that there aren't more gamers on here. I guess there's 2 out of 10, which is
true.
Significant, but I think Sean and I were talking about this. So Notch, the creator of Minecraft, bought this, you know, multi-million dollar house mansion out there. And then there was a streamer who bought a granted smaller mansion, but in the same neighborhood who streamed Minecraft video games, the gameplay, right?
It's funny.
So clearly there's a lot of money to be made in game streaming and commenting and things like that. So I guess that is my biggest shock is that
it's
there's
kind of like
more
Ken Burns living next to Abe Lincoln or something.
So do you have any other thoughts about this before we move on?
No, I just, it's interesting. I'm really excited for, I used to work with young students, 14-year-olds, that ninth graders that I taught. And so I used to tell them, like, now more than ever, you have the opportunity to determine what your future will be, and you get to define what success is, right? So, you know, I had all these kids who wanted to be, you know, singers. And I'd stop and ask them, like, do you want to be a singer because you love to sing? Or do you want to be famous? Do you want to make a living? Like, what do you want to do? And, you know, not saying everybody's going to be making $8, $12 million in revenue on YouTube, but it's getting to the point where if you just want to have a day job, you can do that YouTubing. Lots of people do that, or blogging, or podcasting, that sort of thing. Not saying it's easy by any means.
No, but I mean, like, for example, I had a friend who just did paranormal videos, and she made a living doing this, which is
A and niche with market, with right? as many potential revenue streams, it's become easier and easier to do this as a living.
Yeah. So you still need that skill set of successful people. You need to be dedicated. You need to be knowledgeable. You need to be skillful, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't have to be in a traditional 9-to-5 job anymore. So that's exciting for me.
So when are you going to be a YouTube professional?
I like my 9-to-5 job. Oh. I'm boring.
All right. So let's move on to our change-up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the Green Man Gaming banner. So the change-up for the week is, what is your favorite minigame that was part of a larger RPG?
So I got to admit, I don't usually play the mini games that much. I like the thing.
You play the real game? The
actual game. That's just stupid. The normal part.
If your ratio of mini game to real game is not at least 33%, then you're just doing it wrong.
So my mini game of choice, I think, like I said, I don't really play them that much, but...
What was it called? Hot coffee? No.
Oh, yeah. Sean spent an obscene amount of time on that.
I guess I would say chocobo racing in Final Fantasy, just because I like chocobos.
Yeah, chocobos.
And digging up for random treasures and hoping that I can get the golden chocobo, the golden chocobo to get Knights of the Round. That was pretty important.
None of that.
Shout out to all you Final Fantasy friends. What up?
So I think up until this year. Up until this year. And
this year just demolished.
It changed. The game changed for me. Up until this year, it would have been Blitzball. Which one was it? Which Final Fantasy? Which is the only Final Fantasy I ever played. And I played the game up until you could play Blitzball, which is not that far into the game, and stopped playing the game and only played Blitzball.
It's really early on.
I was a champion, though. I don't even remember if you could actually...
Yeah, it's funny, anything. Because if you only played that far, I'm pretty sure you get better like weapons or something that you can do Blitzball better with, but apparently you didn't even care.
So that got demolished, though, when The Witcher came out and a little card game called Gwent was released as part of that. And I think
The Witcher was made for Rob Stellar. If you didn't know, like this game, RPG elements, a card game, like this game was made.
Yeah, Rob, I didn't tell you this, but people from CD Projekt Red like called me up and I gave them a profile on you.
They just missed the soccer. If they just put it like you could kick the heads around after you decapitated it. I know. DLC. Just kick decapitated heads around and they've got everything.
They're going to have a Rocket League crossover.
So, yes, Gwent is a little card game. Granted, I like card games to begin with. And I'm big into Hearthstone and things like that. It's one of those types of games where it's just very easy. The rules are very easy to understand, and then you collect cards as you go, so you has that element of it, and you have to do all these quest lines to get all the better cards, and you can completely derail and pull yourself out of the game when you're in a really tense moment. You're like, hey, let's play some Gwent.
Oh my gosh. I still remember the guy. I don't want to get into it too much, but it's the Baron quest, and he has a lot of family things. It's a very serious quest, and I still remember we're at a very serious point. The top... speech choice was would you like to play a game of Gwent? Like, it wasn't even at the bottom, it was on the top. I was like, what? We're talking about very serious family topics. So,
I think they killed it with this game. I'm actually going to buy... I'm waiting for... The DLC just got released, and I'm waiting for the physical limited edition release of it because it comes with two decks of Gwent cards, which I'm not sure if I'm going to get to the actual game, but I just want those physical cards. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
All right, I'm going to take it old school, and this was like to the point where...
Sorry, I need to cut you off right there.
All
right. Kanye style. So yeah.
I'm going to let you finish.
I have to give a shout out to Shenmue because they had a shit ton of minigames. Like, you can go into the arcade and play like five or six arcade.
Were they all Sega games?
I think so, yeah. It was amazing. But anyway, go ahead.
All right.
I just needed to plug
Ridge Racer.
Shenmue in there.
So I'm...
Shenmue.
Dark Souls.
There were no minigames in that. It's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it old school and talk about Ultima 7.
Nice.
So this was before it was commonly called minigames, and some people might even argue that this was borderline side quest. But there was the opportunity, if you followed the storyline, if you read some of the just random textbooks around, you know, like the like in Skyrim, you can read all these books laying around on bookshelves and stuff like that. So you can... I don't believe that for a second. So you could do something similar in Ultima 7, and we're talking this game was in 1994, 90... Yeah, no, older... Yeah, 92, 93... So anyhow, you could read all these books, and you'd if you paid attention, there was a way that you could make swords, and there is a way that you could learn to make bread, and there is a way that you could learn to make bandages, and all these things had value in the game.
Did someone become like a bread kingpin?
Yeah. So
it was just
slow. Well, that's what I do. I'd just go into the main city, start making bread, because like. It had a virtue system, right? So you couldn't really steal stuff. But if you used their equipment in the store, they didn't really count that as stealing. Nice. So I would just go in. Nice. I'd go into the fields. I'd collect cotton. I'd go to the gin and turn it into...
What kind of bread are you making?
Well, bread, bandages,
okay.
That sort of thing, right? So bandages, okay. You collect the cotton. Yep. You weave it into cloth, and then you cut it up with shears, and you... you make your bandages, you make bread, and there was also, so this is more of a mini game in the traditional sense, there was also an island called Buccaneer's Den.
Nice.
Filled with pirates.
Yep.
And they had a casino.
Oh.
And I forget what kind of game it was.
Only bread.
But there was one game where I could pretty consistently win, and so I just kind of went there and made a lot of money.
Made a lot of cheddar.
Are there stories we hear about former Ultima players who say, there's one bread master who made the best bread of them all? They sang songs about him.
Josie Goats.
Yeah,
echoed across brag, the land.
Some call me the baker.
The baker.
I am calling you that from now on.
That's going to be your username and handle for everything you do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Speaking of baking products.
Oh, here we go.
So,
for those who don't know. You only had one time that you... Anyway.
For those who don't know, Star Trek is coming out.
Oh.
Picard is back.
Yes.
And now...
I haven't watched any of
it. He's an MC. And Data is his DJ.
None of that is true.
It's almost true. Star Wars is almost upon us. So yeah. If you haven't heard, honestly, I think it is
months.
At the hype where literally it doesn't matter if you
like
Star Wars.
I don't think
or
you
not.
Could be listening to this show and have not heard.
Not
this.
Heard.
I don't think
for people who are just
yeah,
terrible human beings.
If you don't
beings,
know what Star Wars is, stop listening to us. You're not our audience. Back the fuck off. Yeah. Go watch Star Wars and then start listening to us.
Everything just makes sense all of a sudden.
Go back to
oh
watching YouTube.
God, I'm so enlightened.
But Star Wars The Force Awakens is going to come out December 18th. That's coming up closer and closer. And, you know, ever since episode 3 ended in what, or came out in, I think, 2005, there's been, you know, everybody's waiting for the next movie. After Disney bought this entire Star Wars franchise, yep. They didn't know where this was going to go. They went with J.J. Abrams, who's done it. Hilariously enough, he did the Star Trek reboot.
Yep.
But so people didn't know where it was going to go, and now it's coming closer and closer. I think this is the third trailer they put out.
The last trailer, also.
Oh, okay, yeah. Which makes sense.
Well, a real trailer, not just a teaser.
Sure, yeah, it was full, I think, 2.5 minutes. But it came out... And it's Star Wars. Did I tell you Star Wars? There are lightsabers,
yep.
TIE fighters, the
one with the
Millennium
hilt.
Falcon.
The lightsaber hilt.
Yeah, that was some drama.
Just
but,
that makes no
so,
sense to me.
Yeah.
First, I just want to talk about, guys, Star Wars coming up.
I think Sean's in shock.
So it's funny because, and I don't want to get my hopes up too high, which they already are.
Nah, too late.
But honestly, episode 1 through 3, I'm with most people in that They were just,
they don't count.
They were really bad. Like, and it was almost sad. You see this arc of George Lucas. He made these incredible films, and it wasn't just Star Wars. He did Indiana Jones. Like, he had some really excellent films, and then now it's just terrible movie after terrible movie. So hopefully JJ can bring it back. My only fear is, and this is the question, you know, how deep is the story going to be? I think Star Wars is, considering how it's a nerd movie, it set off some extremely recognizable characters and ideas. The Force, Darth Vader. Yeah. Somebody said that. Imagine at the end, Kylo Ren is the main villain in this. He takes off his helmet and he goes, Misa!
You see, they made, somebody made these posters.
Yeah, they replaced all the faces with Jar Jar Binks.
And John Cena, I think, was the other one randomly.
Anyway, so we'll talk about
it. The good news is they're picking up from the original three, and they could just discount the first three almost entirely.
And well, it makes sense as the seventh movie, and they've made a lot of they've harkened back to it. If you watch the trailer, there are two songs that are straight from the original trilogy.
Those songs hadn't come out yet in the original three, all right, sorry, in episodes 1 through 3.
And the other thing is they're obviously it makes sense because this is after 4 through 6, but there is a lot of Carrie Fisher is in it. Harrison Ford is in it. Mark Hamill is in it. So these are all the original actors.
Alec Guinness zombie is in it.
Yeah, exactly. And
thanks.
RIP. We're pouring out of 40 right now. But so there's a lot of throwback to the original three or the real movies and things like that. I hope they don't. I hope they don't lean on nostalgia too much. I mean, the problem is this is such a nostalgia-filled series, but I hope it builds its own story. But they have a very young cast, so I think they know they're building towards a future.
I'm not immune to fan service, but if that's all you're doing, it gets old fairly quick. At least for me, it gets old fairly quickly. I want to see advance the story, make a new franchise, and like tell me what happened to the old people, and tell me what's going to happen with the new people. Let's get into that. There is one thing I'm very, very, very curious about.
Soccer ball thing?
No.
BBA?
Mystery solved with that. So
I'm getting one.
There is a scene where Darth Vader's helmet is shown, and it's deformed from presumably heat and melting, right? Because he was cremated at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Spoiler.
And so I want to know, how did they get that deformed helmet? Did they mold it that way, in a deformed way, or did they take a Darth Vader helmet and melt it? And how many Darth Vader helmets did they have to melt to get that precise melted version?
That's what was going
through. That's all I want to know.
Well,
none of which will be answered in the actual movie.
Well, they're actually real Ewoks who came out and then they took it off and then they made it into special helmet. Yeah. And you can find out about it later. That is a very important question. Hopefully,
the good
it
news
will
is the bar is pretty low after the second three movies.
I would disagree completely, just because people just forget about the first three.
As long as they don't have a Gungan in there, it's all good. It's all good.
They don't have pod racing. If there's any fucking pod racing, I'll kill somebody.
Pod racing, Jesus.
It was funny. So I watched these trailers.
Can I just say real quick? My brother and I were planning on going back and watching 1 through 6 in order.
Yeah.
Just so we'd be ready for this again. But I don't want to sit through the goddamn pod race. Like, it makes me not want to watch the original.
And it's such a big part. So one thing, the trailers trickled out, and one thing I really liked, which, granted, this is the complete trend of movies recently, it feels darker and grittier, where not that the 4 through 6 were necessarily happy, but there's definitely
some Ewoks are going to die.
I know. Like, even the film grain or whatever they use, it just feels darker at some points. I watched these trailers, but I was still excited. I wanted to learn about the story. There were just elements, even outside of nostalgia, I wanted to learn about. I watched the trailers for The Phantom Menace, and there were some cool elements, but a big part of it was the pod racing. And they just show Anakin getting in his stupid pod racer, and he's racing against that stupid flappy guy.
The big thing was the double lightsaber, right?
Yeah, Darth Maul. And it's funny because most people, in the 4 through 6, you never see a Sith. I mean, technically you could say Palpatine is a Sith and that whole thing, but never like the Sith race. So Darth Maul was the only one you've seen in any of the movies that is actually from that race. So that's kind of cool. But either way, I'm really intrigued. It's also an interesting cast of characters, and Adam Driver is the main antagonist. He's Kylo Ren, and he was in Girls. He was in a movie I just saw. He's up and coming, and to me, he's kind of a weird person for a villain. He's, to put it nicely, he's oddly shaped, his face. So I didn't know how that would work in it. And so it'll be interesting to see how he is, especially because the two movies I've seen him in, he wasn't necessarily an angry character. But I don't even know necessarily what they're doing with the story. I've been trying to avoid spoilers. So a main character is clearly... is a stormtrooper who... I don't know. He
gets really hot
and takes off his helmet. He never knows.
He has to take off his helmet several times.
And there are a lot of desert set pieces, which remind me of like Tatooine and things like that. Yeah. There's BB-8, like you said.
Yeah.
There are lightsabers, in case you didn't know.
Do you think they'll just have a Roomba?
No, they already had that. You don't remember on the Death Star, the little black thing?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And you can control it in like Jedi Knight and stuff.
It actually is just cleaning up. Yeah.
But so, I mean, admittedly, I don't have much to talk about except that I'm hyped because they...
You wanted to go opening night, which you've never really done for any movie.
So the interesting thing is that it's sold out.
Yeah.
It's broken, what was it, 8 times
the previous crazy. Record without ever coming, Fandango. Without even being in theaters. It's already broken several records.
It broke sites, I think, some sites.
Yeah. No, Fandango the three main sites, like AMC, Fandango, and whatever the other one, they all went down because
there's tickets on, so reportedly on eBay for like $1,000.
Yeah, and it's, I mean... The hype is real, but it's so funny. I still, and maybe this goes back into our whole talk about how nerd things have become more popular. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, when Star Wars originally came out, it was very big, popular. Yeah. But, it's funny. This is a nerd movie, and to a degree, and this is going to be.
See, they're doing
huge.
Marathons at some theaters.
Like, yeah, they're doing all six, yeah. And those are selling out as well. Do that?
No, I will not watch those first three movies.
No, we'll just go to the second half of it. No.
Oh, yeah, we just skip
out. I don't want to go to a theater with a lot of people. So, with that in mind,
Grumpy Cat.
The other question I have is, how long will I have to wait to go see this movie?
Yeah.
With the stipulation that I don't want to go into a crowded theater.
It's interesting you say that. So, my family...
I might have to take a day off and go see a matinee during the week.
My family are all nerds, and this is coming out the week before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
18th, yeah.
So... The last 3 years, we've had Hobbit movies to go to.
Yeah.
So it's been nice because I think they didn't come out. I think they came out in November. They were a little bit earlier.
The Hobbit movies?
Yeah.
I thought they came out on Christmas.
Really?
But yeah, keep
going. I don't know. But anyway, my point was we didn't have to wait too long to see the Hobbit movies. Like, we didn't go the first week, but we went shortly after and it wasn't an issue. I mean, I would hope that a week out of this movie being released, it would not still be sold out every show.
Well, and one thing, so the thing that immediately comes to mind is the Book of Mormon. But one major difference is the Book of Mormon has actors. The reason why I was bringing up the Book of Mormon is you think about hearing something selling out for a long period of time. One advantage that they have is, from what I'm reading, because of the almost unprecedented demand, all these theater chains are just increasing their screenings. Because they can. I mean, they have the film. They can just play it more times in different things. So I think we will...
theaters, that's all they're showing is Star Wars.
But you know what? Like,
Star
when
Wars
Titanic came out, there were definitely... I still remember Titanic, like a year later, they were still you never saw it.
It's a proud thing for me.
My bigger issue, I think you'll definitely be able to see it at some point the week after. You'll get tickets. I don't think that'll be a problem. But what I want to see it in IMAX. I assume it was shot in some crazy digital format that'll work in IMAX, but that might be the kind of thing that is sold out for a long period of time.
Is it in 3D too? I think I saw that.
I don't know.
17:7 ratio.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I saw there some 3D theater. I don't know what that means, though. Like,
I hope it's
not made for 3D. I don't know. It's a stupid. That's
but either way, so IMAX to me would be the cool way. And if they do it, especially with space films and things like that, to see it in real IMAX. Yeah. But I could see that being a thing that's sold out for a long time.
Well, my ticket is I'm going to go watch it on the space station. On the National Space Station. So.
Well, it's cheaper. And
we've got a projector. We're just going to put it on Africa, the whole continent. and watch it there.
Nice. What do you think, if we go to like Canada, are they as interested in Star Wars? Maybe they're doing a simultaneous release. You think
it's just an American thing?
Yeah, it's totally. They don't know who Jar Jar Binks is in Canada.
They have subtitles. And it's all dubbed. Use the force, eh?
You're not my father. You're not my friend, guy. Now that all our Canadian viewers have gone away.
We're going to Canadian hell.
Canadian hell, which is really friendly, coincidentally.
Yeah. Lots of syrup.
So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Hell no.
I will be totally honest. I said this earlier that so Marvel has had hit after hit with movies. In my personal opinion, I'm getting tired of them. I feel like a lot of them feel similar. I don't know what it was. I mean, it's because the Star Wars kid inside me. When I saw, like, that X-Wing and the lightsaber shoot out of his
head. I'm pretty sure they used the same sound effects.
They did. They did.
Yeah. Which actually is really cool. And we talked about this with Battlefront, the Star Wars game that's coming out. They used the same sound effects, but they're so iconic. You're like, this is amazing. This is what
and
I want.
You almost don't realize how many things they generated. I mean, nobody else uses those sound effects, but they are so particular. The fact that...
that's what an X-Wing sounds
like. Well, but you know what's funny? Because obviously none of it makes sense because you're in space.
Yeah.
But, and also the fact that an X-Wing makes a different sound than a TIE fighter. And all TIE fighters make similar noises. But it's so particular. Even the when they shoot lasers, and all the video games had and stuff like that. But the X-Wings shoot differently than the TIE fighters, and it's
different colors.
Yeah, different colors.
That's key.
It's imagine
they planned that when they were like, no, we cannot have the same color laser as the Empire. That'd be ridiculous.
You see a TIE fighter shoot out a red beep. Damn it, Jim! I told you why. You know what? You should have given me a range.
Trademark copyright.
It'll be like in Clerks where they all the innocent people on the Death Star, they all.
All the contractors, yeah.
But I am hashtag hype for this movie, and
I don't think I'm the only one.
Say that. I will never say it again. But. Yeah, it's exciting. December 18th for those. In theaters worldwide, probably. I assume they're doing a worldwide release, but this is going to make a lot of money.
You're just making shit up now.
In Europe, they're getting it early because it's the same day, but they're in the future.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So that's what you have to do.
You need to go.
If you're a real fan, you'll fly out to Australia. Sorry.
They're getting it on Wednesday. I think we're getting it on a Friday. They're getting it on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a real fan, you'll fly out there.
Honestly,
it might be cheaper to go out there and get a ticket than pay $1,000.
Well, and it's funny. One thing, so every Star Wars movie, or the first three, all made over $1 billion, which is a pretty solid amount, or close to $1 billion. So I can't imagine how much this is going to break. Well, okay, we'll do that. What are your predictions? How much money is this guy going to make?
$1 trillion.
Everyone goes to the movie multiple times.
Well, I mean, are
they going to catch
Avatar
the Chinese
made
market, Sean?
Over $2 billion, and we're just talking about box office sales, merchandising. Let's forget about all that. I believe Avatar made over $2 billion. Yeah,
is that the highest?
It's the highest. It beat out Titanic.
Do you think it'll beat that?
And technically, Gone with the Wind was actually the highest. If you add in inflation, there's some ridiculous.
Do you think it'll beat Avatar?
Well, so in my head, I don't know why Avatar and Titanic are the two highest. You know what I mean?
Well,
and I think part of Avatar was the fact that it was supposed to be cool. And
I think Titanic
people
had to go multiple times because it was so damn long.
Yeah.
So they're like, they lost tickets. Yeah.
But I don't know. This hype is pretty insane. Maybe.
I can't believe Avatar.
I don't know why
Avatar
is the highest.
Still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Avatar had huge international sales. I mean, it did really well early on, but like it didn't have longevity. Like people didn't go back and see. Well, you know, Titanic was 13-year-old girls going to see it 7 times with all the friends.
I didn't have dates. That's why I didn't.
And
did you see it in the theater?
No. Actually, wait, I did with my parents. And my mom put her hand on my eyes when you see Kate Winslet's boobs.
That's probably the...
And they did that 3 times. He went with his mom 3 times each time.
Sean, why do you keep seeing this movie?
I mean, it'll be difficult. I still, like I said, I don't know why Avatar was so high. I'm not sure if it'll get that high, but I could definitely see over $1.5 billion.
No, I think it's going to be Avatar.
Okay, you heard it first.
Yeah.
Josie Goat. All of a sudden, all the movie stocks change completely. I mean, I guess it's Disney stock. Whoever owns it.
I'm gonna say $2.7 billion.
$2.7 billion.
$2.7 billion.
Math model.
$2.7 and $1. I didn't want to do it all out. I think it'll top three. I'm gonna I'll go for it.
Mike could.
Bold predictions. Yeah. We'll see. December 18th.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. You can also check out our videos on YouTube. We just launched a new spinoff of Roll to Hit, our D&D podcast, which you can check on iTunes as well. So go check out our YouTube by searching for The Commentist. Please share us with your friends. Leave us some comments. You can submit questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. This outro gets longer and longer every time I do it. And we will see you next week.
Misa, love The Unwind.
Oh, no!
God damn it, Sean! One new subscriber.
Damn it, Sherlock.
All the Gungans.
Oh, man, those movies are bad. What up, birds? Welcome to the Ornithology Podcast.
You should do it.
That's awesome.
You want to do my intro one time? Just to mix it up?